Mage Hand High Five. I'm your Dungeon Master, Casey Pappas, and with me, ranked least to most likely to follow a stranger to a secondary location.
Oh, here we go. The real information's coming out now.
Oh,
least
no.
Least to most likely. First, Max Weinberg.
Well, this is Max. I'm playing Wyatt Forsyth. I don't think I've ever followed anybody to a second location. Wyatt absolutely has.
Well, Wyatt's doing that proselytizing shit, too, where, like, if anyone invites him into their house, he's gotta, like, come in.
Just like a vampire.
It's true.
Yeah.
Shh, don't tell them, Casey. It's a secret.
Classic vampire Wyatt Forsyth.
Next, Robin Langenhop.
Hi, I'm Robin Langenhop, playing Hayden Kincaid. I barely go to a first location, much less a second. I'm sorry, did you speak to me? The number of times that random people just like while I'm walking my dogs will try to talk to me, and then I'm taking my like earbuds out and whatever they had to say was so inane and unimportant. It's like, you interrupted my quiet moment to myself. What are you doing?
God.
And last, Rowan McStay.
Hello. My name is Rowan McStay, playing Solomon Briar. I feel attacked.
Accurately.
However, you're not wrong. I like to be helpful. Also, when I was a kid, when I was a kid, I did follow a stranger to a second location. My sister and I went out into the woods while my mom was playing in a softball game. And we got lost in the woods and we were not supposed to be out there and we were trying to find our way back, but we were like lost and we were like 5 and 7 years old. We were very young. And this lady walked by with her dogs and was like, I can help you get back to where you're going. And we were like, okay.
And you are now
she's got a
ghost.
Dog. She must be chill.
Oh my God.
So anyway, this lady took me to her cabin in the woods and she told me to get into a big cauldron. And I went, that seems odd, but okay.
But anything to help.
This hot tub smells funny.
If I think it might be a quest, I'll go. Like, curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction did bring them back.
You know what? With that, let's dive right in.
Whee!
Last time on Mage Hand High Five. You arrived in Echo, finding it a chaotic, lawless city. While en route to find aid for Twin River, you stumbled across an old friend of Wyatt's, Davy Lou Suton. Davy's love for the flame is only matched by Wyatt's, and he seems to admire Wyatt deeply. You also discover that Davy knows Winona, having run afoul of her hatred for the church. You go to her empty apartment and search it, only to be interrupted by her roommate, Lysander, and then Winona herself. Salome discovers that Lysander is, in fact, Theodosius Jameson, the third Jameson brother who seemingly left years ago. He seems devoted to painting, offering no fight to Salome. Winona scolds Hayden for teaming up not only with church devotees, but with Salome. Burned by her experiences with Rat, she offers no quarter to Wyatt or Salome. When last we left off, Wyatt is approached by a mysterious figure asking for Stump Steenling. Wyatt, you are outside, and as you are talking, you hear a voice.
Hello. Do you know where Stump Steenling is?
That's a very difficult question to answer. But not particularly.
You look up, you see an older Kinku man. He wears a cloak fastened with a silver clasp. He has a walking stick, and there's a man behind him, a burly half-orcish man. The Kinku's feathers are graying. His eyes look a little milky, and he doesn't seem to look directly at you so much as just sort of out.
I never met him, but I've kind of heard about him. He's somewhere in the desert, I think, right now, last time I saw.
The Kinku turns to the other man, and they sort of, they sign back and forth for a second. And the man says,
you live here?
Oh, no, I'm just visiting. This is my friend Davey. He lives here, though.
The Kinku waves to Davey, and the man says, "You travel with others. Where are they?"
They're inside the house. They're saying hi to some old friends.
The Kinku smiles and signs something to the man, and the man says, "Thank you. I hope that we're not intruding, but we do have business with them."
Oh, do you mind, actually, if my friend here might be able to ask you a question as practice?
They look at each other, and then the Kinku shrugs. And the man says, "Shoot."
"Now, remember what we practiced, Davey."
"Okay.
You can do this."
"Yeah. Hello. Would you like to hear about the, would you like to hear about the Eternal Flame today?" The men look at each other. The Kinku shakes his head. And then both men stride past you towards the door.
Oh, God.
"Davey, we just talked about this. When you ask a yes or no question..."
"Oh."
"It leaves them the opportunity to say no."
"Ah." "Shoot." "Yeah."
"And maybe they're feeling a little uncomfortable about the questions they do have. So with you inviting that opportunity, it will hopefully put them at ease."
"That's fair. Okay. So not a yes or no question." By this point, the men have started to walk inside.
Oh, no.
And Davey.
"Thank you for your help, sirs."
And Davey's like, "Okay. So I should say, have you heard of the Eternal Flame? That's a yes or no question."
My way is, what questions do you have about the Eternal Flame?
What happens if they say none?
Then they are already enlightened and we don't have to help them at all because they are good to go.
Great.
As this carries on.
They are good to go.
Check
I wish
them off
that
the list.
People acted like that in real life.
Right?
They are good to go.
Good to go is very funny.
Good to go to the Lord.
As y'all are wrapping this up, inside, Hayden and Salome, you are both sitting on the floor in Winona and Lysander's living room. Both a little thrown off by conversations that you might not have anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think we sit there in silence on the floor for a minute, and then Salome just puts an arm around Hayden's shoulder and says, "What happened, darling? You okay?"
"No. She wants y'all gone."
"Oh, hell. Is it the bounty? Is it the church?"
"I'm sure that doesn't help."
"Yeah. Shit, you know what? I'm so sorry. I care about this a lot. We should talk about this, but I actually just realized that I didn't ask a very important question. I'm going to be right back. I'm so sorry. Can we just put just a pause? I will tell you everything, but I just need just a minute."
And okay. I
tiptoe back over and gently tap on Lysander's door.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Lysander. Hey.
You don't hear a response.
Okay, I just peek my head in.
Okay. He is painting.
"Hey, Lysander, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to barge into your room, but I need to ask you a question really quick, and I realized I should have asked you before and I didn't, so now I just had to double back." And I shut the door behind me. "Does Winona know who you are?"
He sighs and stops painting. And he says, "I've taken great care to not reveal myself to anyone here."
"Interesting. I'm curious as to why. You don't have to answer, I suppose. You don't owe me anything."
Have you ever felt like you were in a place you didn't belong?"
"Yeah, Lysander, no shit.
Thought so."
"The Badlands are a dangerous place. How come you don't know who your daddy is? Did your mama used to kill people when she sent them across the river?" "Yes, I have. I understand. Listen, I suggest that you tell her today before Hayden or I have to. I don't mean to disrupt your privacy, but obviously with the situation as it is between me and your brothers and Hayden and Winona and me, this could all get real complicated. And listen, you seem disturbingly harmless, frankly, but I've never met a Jameson who wasn't a good liar. I don't trust this, and I don't trust you. Now, I'll give you a warning, because we used to be family. But I suggest that you tell her today, because I will do what I need to do to protect Hayden's sister from you.
Thank you for the advice.
Mm-hmm. Casey, what is it that he's actually painting right now?
It's a little hard to tell. It's in the early stages. It's in the early stages. There is sort of a sketch outline first.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like there is sort of a large circular shape in the distance.
Oh.
With a figure.
Huh.
But you're not you're not quite sure what that means.
Interesting. Okay. Well, this is awful, so I'm gonna go. But hey, you know, real nice work on the painting and all that. I'm sorry to barge back in here. See you later. And I shut the door and leave.
You do that. Hayden.
Yes.
Salome leaves, goes and knocks on Lysander's door and walks in. And you are alone on the floor with your thoughts. What is going through Hayden's mind right now?
I think there's so much that it's just an unintelligible din in their head. I think they are overwhelmed and shutting down. In fact, I think that instinctively, just looking for something to grasp onto, Hayden summons the spirit of Yolanda, not for any practical need, just to feel the ghost of her fur and just have something to press up against.
You summon Yolanda. Yolanda, at first, is the tiniest bit confused. But she sees you and then nestles up against you. And you feel that warm, soft fur. Honestly, softer than a full-grown displacer beast has any right to have.
This is the idealized version of Yolanda.
Yeah, this is the Yolanda that Yolanda wants to be. And as you are petting Yolanda's fur, your bounty hunting instincts kick in, cutting through that din as the door opens and two new people walk in.
My crossbow is out and at the door before a head is able to even peek through.
You point a crossbow, and an elderly Kinku man holds up his hands.
Do not move.
He and the man look at each other. The other man is a large half-orc man in leather armor. The half-orc man also has his hand raised and says,
"It'll be a little difficult to continue communication if I can't interpret."
The door opens at this moment, and White goes, these people are looking for Stump.
Oh, God. Of all the things to happen in this moment, this isn't even my house.
This is a nice place.
Wow, look at these paintings.
You're looking for Stump?
The half-orc looks over at the Kinku. The Kinku raises his beak just a little bit, and Gore says,
"We were told to meet him, by him. If I may, my name is Gore Maiden. This is Master Cordran Lightfeather."
All right. You may use your hands, but if I see any bit of casting, you take this right in the heart. You understand?
They both nod.
Unfortunately, Stump will not be coming to join you.
Cordran's eyes narrow. He signs quickly to Gore, and Gore says,
"If I may ask, what became of him?"
Well, we don't rightly know. An entity has taken control of his body and is up to God's know what. I will let you know that the actual owners of this home may just open the door and open fire on you immediately. This is not exactly a place that is welcome to unexpected guests.
I think at that point, Salome comes out looking harrowed.
Hey, you okay, Salome?
Yeah, why wouldn't I be? Who are these fellas?
They're looking for Stump.
Salome, meet Cordrin.
I think Gore says, my name's Gore.
Well, as I live and breathe, I guess it is good to see a friendly face. Friendly? We're pointing crossbows at each other. Is it friendly? Are we going to get in a fight? I don't want to get in a fight right now. It's already been a day.
Cordrin signs and Gore says,
the last thing we want is a fight as well.
I think we all ought to have a conversation. Hayden, do you think that we would be welcome in Winona's living room? It does not seem that we would.
I find that highly unlikely.
All right.
Y'all best get to getting. I think I have to stay.
You sure?
No. But I think this is where I have to be, at least until I can convince Winona that I have not unleashed holy hell upon her life.
All right. Well, hey, you got a lot to process right now, so I'm not going to drop too much information on you, but don't hand out a lot of information in front of Lysander.
Why?
Hayden, how much lore do you really want right now? You are distressed.
This feels relevant.
Yeah, Lysander's a little bit of a character, and he used to be a character called Theodosius Jameson.
What?
Even Cordrin sort of cocks his head.
No, that's not. I'm trying to whisper this just to Hayden.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay, so nobody else is involved.
I should have made that so clear.
That.
I'm really trying not to involve anyone else in
important.
This. Because it's
okay.
Super important. Yeah.
Okay. Can I have you roll a deception check to hide this from everyone in the room?
That is a dirty 20.
Okay.
Ooh, do I want to try to hear this?
I'll tell you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you'll find out. I'm just not trying to tell these other people.
Oh, okay.
I think he's hiding here. He seems safe, at least for now. We'll talk, but don't trust him.
That won't be a problem.
Yeah, apparently he just wants to paint. It's real fun.
Hmm.
All right, well, yeah, if we don't see you, let's meet up at the saloon we passed where somebody was getting thrown out on their ass. It looks like a pretty accommodating place, so we'll meet up there.
That's not how I describe it, but yeah, sure.
Do we have to?
I do think before we go, Salome does slow down for a second and look at Hayden and say, I love you, friend.
Wyatt puts a hand on Hayden's shoulder and just goes, it'll be okay.
Oh.
And then leaves.
I don't know about that.
Hayden, do you still look like Winona?
I think I changed back.
Okay. Davey looks at you and is really confused.
Oh, God, that's
right. I do not have time for your confusion.
Davey, a lot has happened since school break, and we will certainly catch you up on what's going on, but not at this exact moment, I promise.
Okay.
Ashes to flame.
Hell yeah.
Just trying to think of something.
Wait, sorry, what did you say?
I said ashes to flame, as
ashes
in, like,
to
swear
flame.
To God.
Like, I swear, like, it's a promise. Yeah.
Ashes to flame. All right. Hayden, you remain behind. It is quiet here as you settle in, just waiting.
I don't think I ever leave the floor to get to somewhere more comfortable. I just curl up with Yolanda and eventually fall asleep.
And as you do, Salome, Wyatt, Cordrin, Gore, and Davey.
What a crew.
As you walk, you notice that Cordrin and Gore take a lot of side streets and back alleys. And eventually you arrive at a building that you find is the back of the tavern that you saw before.
What's it called?
It's called the Pickled Liver.
Ooh, I like that.
Gross.
Cordrin knocks. A little sliding window opens for a moment. A pair of eyes stare out, see Cordran, and Cordran says,
"A table."
The little slider closes, the door opens, and you are all ushered inside.
Oh, it's like Dynamo Text in the Backstreet Varmints. Oh, this is cool.
Gore looks at you and goes,
"That's a good episode."
Oh, so, oh my god, you watch?
He just like hits his chest like, yeah.
We are going to have so much to talk about.
Cordran goes inside and immediately makes himself at home at a table that seems to be his usual.
Fucking Al Capone.
Gore sits down as well. He gestures to the remainder of the seats at this table.
Are we bringing Davey?
Sure.
Davey's there. Davey doesn't quite know what to do. He just sort of sits down next to you, Wyatt, and is like looking at you.
You're welcome to stay if you want, Davey, but if you don't, I'll meet back at your place later if you want.
Davey looks at Cordran and looks back at you, Wyatt, and says, I don't want to leave you here.
Oh, it'll be okay. The friend of my friend is my friend.
He sort of grimaces. Cordran signs to Gore, and Gore says,
"All right, what happened to Stump?"
Well, question before we go into all the details, because last time I checked, Stump was being hunted by Hazak, and Cordran, you let Stump know that Hazak had been taken out, in three at least, and now y'all are here and have been here running the Feather Folk. So it doesn't seem like y'all are terribly affiliated with Hazak, but I don't want to just go around giving away information about a good friend of mine to people who might be on his tail. You'll have to forgive the suspicion. Are y'all running with whatever part of Hazak was after Stump, trying to kill him?
Cordran signs a couple things to Gore, and Gore says,
"I'm going to speak for Master Cordran."
Yeah.
"When Stump abandoned Hazak, I was held responsible."
Hmm.
"As his partner, I was under suspicion for aiding his escape, though I played no part in it. Myself and Larissa were both punished for our parts, though we did not know why Stump had absconded."
I thought Larissa was the leader. I thought she was the one hunting him.
"Larissa became the leader after. I escaped Hazak. Larissa had better fortune. The leader of Hazak passed away a couple years after this incident, and Larissa took his place. I went to Echo to start anew. And if you'll forgive me, I've done pretty well for myself."
I was just gonna say, and it seems like you've done pretty well for yourself. Hmm. Is Larissa still in Threed? Did she make it out of the raid on Hazak?
And Cordran signs something to Gore, and Gore says,
"I answered your question, now you answer mine."
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Do y'all know too much about the reason that Stump escaped Hazak in the first place?
"I know that Stump was sent out on a mission to retrieve an amulet from the Church of the Eternal Flame."
All right, y'all know too much about the amulet?
"Just that it is a powerful resource that the church had been utilizing."
It was a hell of a thing, and I think that the church may have been a little bit in over their heads, and I think Stump might have been in a little bit over his head, and I think it was a little more powerful than anybody anticipated, and it has taken him.
"It has taken him. What do you mean?"
"There was an entity, for lack of a better term, in the amulet that Stump made a deal with to save Salome and Hayden."
"So it's a cursed object."
More or less,
you could say that.
Also was a map.
He started acting strange, and the amulet was slowly taking control of him mentally, and we ended up in a little bit of a pinch, and Stump made a deal to invite the amulet to live inside of his chest. And we were in another pinch, and Stump called out for help again. And this time, when whatever critter was living inside that amulet came to help, he didn't want to go back in. And now I think he's got a hold of Stump's body, and Stump is stuck somewhere deep inside the amulet, inside his mind, I don't know.
But his body's somewhere in the desert.
And Cordrin motions to the bartender, who's in this section of the tavern has its own bar, which is a lot more upscale.
A little speakeasy section. That's cool.
Seems to be only for people in the know.
All right.
Orders a round of drinks.
Oh, sorry. Do you have any juice? I don't drink alcohol.
They set a beer in front of you.
Okay. Thank you.
The bartender sort of looks at you, goes, I got limes.
I guess that'll work if you just bring a bunch of limes.
You want a bunch? Okay.
Just like a hand. Yeah,
just squeeze a shitload of limes.
Just a handful of limes.
Yeah, Gore says, get the kid some limes. And the bartender goes and gets a handful of limes. And it's like Dakota Johnson's house. There's just a bunch of limes in front of you.
I don't get that reference.
Deep cut.
That is a very deep cut.
Wyatt just starts picking them up and just sucking the juice out of the limes.
Gore raises a glass and says,
well, to Stump, may you rest in peace.
Hey, I don't know about all that. I think we can still save him. I'll toast to Stump, but I don't know if I'm going to pour one out for him yet.
Gore says,
there's no retrieving him.
What do you mean?
If the situation was reversed, Stump and I had an understanding. Don't get in over your head.
Cordrin, what kind of friendship is that? I know y'all worked together, and I guess you had an accord, but that sounds to me like y'all were just business partners, and Stump always talked about you like you were a friend.
Who is still here? Me or Stump?
Well, I'll give you that. But I ain't drinking to Stump's memory yet. To Stump.
To Stump.
Ugh. This is so sour.
Ugh. Cordrin laces his fingers together, and Gore says, Now
that you are an echo, what are your plans?
Well, I don't know how much y'all have been keeping track of current events, but Threed has mounted a full-on invasion of the Badlands, and we are here to enlist help for Twin River and various parts surrounding to fight back.
Cordrin laughs, and Gore says,
you're going to have some trouble with the current administration. Lothric Dawnstar, the current, he likes to call himself Viceroy.
Oh, Lord.
Although I don't know that the term applies. Calls himself Viceroy Dawnstar. The Featherfolk have overheard messages between Twin River and Echo. Messages requesting aid. They tried a couple times through sending. I don't know if you're aware.
We are. Matter of fact, we were sent here directly from Twin River by Director Shift, who has taken over in Maverick LaMarche's temporary absence.
Then you'll know that Echo is not given a response.
And that answers your questions of why we're an Echo.
We're hoping to get one.
Dawnstar is ignoring the requests.
Any idea why?
Why would you involve yourself in a war if you're too busy getting rich off your casino?
Eventually it'll come here.
Dawnstar doesn't know that.
Well, we overheard some conversations too. In one of the conversations we overheard were two officers about to invade Twin River with a war train. talking about how they had to keep Twin River intact because it was just a stop on the way to somewhere else.
Mm.
And I don't know how much geography Lothar Dawnstar knows, but there ain't a whole lot of something else between Twin River and here.
Listen, you don't have to convince us. We know there's danger. And we know there's not a city to profit off of if Jameson gets here.
Let's take a different tack, then. This Dawnstar fella.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get under his skin? Sounds like someone who's a little obsessed with his things. A little egotistical, perhaps?
Cordran smiles, and Gore says,
"Oh, I think we're aligned in our interests."
And as Gore says that, Hayden.
Yes.
What's your passive perception?
My passive perception is 15.
You don't know how long has passed since the group left. It feels like 10 minutes, and it also feels like 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to grow a little dark out. The day is starting to die. When you hear a voice behind you that says, "They gone?"
Depends on who you think they is, but probably yes.
Are they gone for good?
I will make sure they do not return to your home.
Hayden, I have a good setup here. I've been here for a little bit now. And I found this apartment because Lysander was looking for a roommate. Honestly, I don't even pay that much rent. I think Lysander does really well with his paintings.
Hayden genuinely bursts out laughing. Like, everything that they have been holding in for the past several hours just explodes out suddenly. The paintings? You really think that's why you've got this cushy little setup? Come on, girl, you're smarter than that.
What do you know? What do you know? Are you holding out on something else?
Are you? Because I learned today who you're cozying up with, just as you learned who I've been spending my time with. Wanna trade information?
What do you mean?
Your roommate is Theodosius Jameson. Jameson.
You expect me to believe? I've been living with one of the Jameson brothers.
I stand up and I kick Lysander's door in.
Oh my god. Oh, I did not mean to wreck this guy's shit like that.
Oh, it's getting wrecked.
You look and see a massive swipe across the canvas.
Oh.
As he was startled, and he's just standing looking at it, and then looks at you, and he says, "How many more times is this going to happen today?"
Depends. Is your brother going to send me any more threatening messages inside my brain? Is your brother going to send another train to go destroy a city? Or are you going to keep lying to my sister about who the fuck you even are? I will call you by whatever name you want to be called, because that means respect. But you can't pretend that you're showing any respect to this woman if you are keeping her in danger by being so close to you and not telling her. If I'm going to get chastised by the one person who has cared for me for my entire life because I made other friends that might have a history, then we're going to clear all the air today. Winona.
Winona is next to you. Without you knowing, Winona is right next to you. And you hear her say, "Is it true?" And Lysander turns and starts cleaning one of his brushes. And Winona turns, and Hayden, you see that tears are forming in her eyes. And she says, "Guess I'm the fool." And she turns.
Wait.
What?
We are surrounded by liars and deceivers and killers. I've been one of them for a long time. You knew that. But I didn't lie to you at any moment. I'm not lying to you now. I'm still me, and you're still you, and that still matters. If you don't feel safe here with him, you can come with me. If you want to stay in this life, that's fine too. I will respect it and understand it. But I'm here now, all right?
I have to go run an errand.
What do you want me to do?
Wait here. I'll be back.
All right.
And she turns and walks out the front door. And there's a long silence. And then you hear Lysander saying, "This probably doesn't mean anything to you. I haven't told anything about my life to Tiberius or to Titus. I don't want them in my life right now, or maybe ever. I haven't decided that. I don't know that I want to decide it. I didn't want to be alone. So I figured paying someone's rent was a good way to get to keep someone around."
Lysander?
Yeah.
I understand wanting to run away from where you came from. But the position that you were in, you don't get to hide in a dark room with your paintings while the rest of us burn because of what your family's doing. Even your silence hurts people. Get back to your art. The rest of us have work to do.
Roll insight.
27.
Lysander is not doing a great job of hiding his emotions, and as you say these things, he looks pretty defeated from the get-go, as if these are words that he knows pretty well. He turns softly back to the canvas, dips a rag, and begins to dab at the swipe across the painting.
Something to think about. Got plenty of that already, but you know, art can be work too, right? And then I will go back to Yolanda.
Yolanda is waiting patiently for you.
Are you connected to the real Yolanda out there somewhere?
She looks at you completely unable to communicate a response and just does that thing that cats do where they just headbutt you.
But she's big.
But she's so big. It almost barrels you over.
You get a concussion.
Nope.
She lays this massive head into you. And you both wait for Winona to return.
Cyber Plus Punk Overload is the first official expansion for the award-winning, ultra-stylish, rules-light cyberpunk game, Cyber Plus Punk, that is specifically designed for action-packed one-shot sessions. In Cyber Plus Punk, you are a runner, a merc, a criminal, an activist living on the edge and running in the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world. Infiltrate a mega prison, escape a bloody reality show, solve a time loop, race vehicles in the Badlands, or escape the Netscape. One-shot scenarios, gear catalogs, plug-in rule sets, and complete settings made by an all-star cast of game designers and stylishly bundled into three sleek thematic packs. So go back Cyber Plus Punk Overload on Kickstarter to get the limited edition version with a slick hollow foil sleeve. Just search CBR plus PNK colon Overload on Kickstarter. That's CBR plus PNK colon Overload.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
At the Pickled Liver. In the back room.
What a phrase.
Cordran smiles and Gore says, I have a proposition.
Okay.
As long as Dawnstar is in charge, Echo is not going to rise to the aid of Twin River. But if someone more receptive to your plight, someone a little bit closer in proximity to us now.
Someone like Cordran?
It's a natural step in the process.
Are you asking us to stage a coup?
I'm just asking you to get alone with him. What you do from there is anybody's business.
Davy.
Davy is just sitting here.
Davy, Ashes to Flame, I will meet you at your place tonight.
Davy looks at you and says, Ashes to Flame?
Ashes to Flame.
He gets up slowly from the table. And as he starts to walk out, Gore says, Hey, don't go repeating.
It's okay, he's cool.
I think I do just want to walk Davy out of the building for a second so that I can talk with him kind of out of earshot.
Sure.
And I'll just say, Davy, dear heart, you are white as a sheet. What do you know about what the Featherfolk have been doing in Echo?
I don't know anything for certain. It's just rumors.
Nothing you've seen firsthand?
No.
What are the rumors?
That they're behind the scenes, that they're pulling the strings. Some people say they're for the people. Some people say they're looking for power.
Maybe both.
Maybe both.
Okay.
But at the same time, I don't know that Viceroy Dawnstar is a good man.
It seems pretty clear that he's not. But you don't know, like, the Feather Folks aren't. I don't know, Hazak used to go around selling insurance policies and burning buildings down. You haven't heard anything like that?
No. Honestly, people say they're a criminal organization, but they're also kind of a secret society.
Ooh.
Okay. Well, we'll suss it out. I just want to make sure, because you look kind of scared, but also...
My family is relying on me. I only got into St. Ignatius because I got a scholarship. And I don't know what Wyatt is getting into, and I'm worried about him. And... Well, now that St. Ignatius is gone, all I have is the church. And there's been a lot of stuff said today.
I think you've got the church. I also think you've got the flame. And I don't always think that those are the same thing.
He puzzles a little bit at that and says, but the church is the house of the flame.
I have it on good authority that there's a little bit of the flame housed in all of us. We'll talk about it sometime.
Roll a persuasion check.
That's a 20.
Okay.
And I'll say, and as for Wyatt, we will do our best to keep him on the straight and narrow. He is a real good kid, and you seem like a real good kid too. And I do understand growing up in a tight-knit family without much to go on and having to make sure that they're taken care of. So I get where you're coming from. And, well, I promise we will do our damnedest to make sure that you and Wyatt and your folks and everybody is taken care of. Okay?
Do you believe in the flame?
Well, I was raised with something a little bit different. Some people believe in the flame. Some people believe in the river. Some people believe in the wilds. I think that maybe it's all part of the same thing. I cannot say that I'm aligned with the church, but I can say that I see a spark of something in you.
Davy nods and says, I'm going to go home. And he leaves.
Wyatt goes to Cordran and Gore and says, do you like to help people?
Cordran is a little taken aback by this question. I think the earnestness of it takes him off guard a little bit. And Gore says,
helping people is a... it's a little bit of a complicated question in politics.
Oh, you're in politics.
Yes.
Oh. Davey's my best friend, and I think he needs a little bit of help. And if I were to give you guys some money, would you be able to send his family some food? I don't really know where to find it here.
Cordran looks at Gore, signs, and Gore says,
listen, if the kid goes home and goes back to the way life is, depending on how well we do here, maybe we can set his family up nice.
You have a deal.
All right. He looks at you, Salome.
I'll make y'all a deal. We agree that we are aligned in removing Lothric Dawnstar from power. After that, I don't know that we can really align ourselves with just raising folks to power without the will of the people. I personally have made a promise to the people of the Badlands to make sure that folks are taken care of, so...
We could have a fair and equitable election.
Yeah. I mean, listen. I will make a deal with you to remove Lothric Dawnstar from office. Mm. If you can find a way to come to power legitimately, you'd have my support. If not, you won't.
Cordran himself speaks at this point. And as he does, you see him grimace as if every word is painful coming out. And he says,
even at the cost of aid?
How come you're so underconfident that the people would want you to lead? What have you done to deserve their distrust?
Rumors spread from both sides. Echo was a new start.
Gore looks at you, Salome, and says,
things will need to move quickly. After Dawnstar is removed, there will need to be an interim leader. And then, once all of the war is over, we can talk.
You will provide aid to the Badlands as an interim leader. And from there, work to legitimize yourself with the people.
Gore says,
or you can come and kill me yourself.
Cordran shows a hand and draws slowly a dagger. He lays it across his palm and then slices it.
Oh, God. Why would you do that?
And Cordran says,
truth.
Salome holds out her hand for the knife.
Ew. No, don't do that.
Hands it.
There are so many nerve endings in your palm. Please don't.
And slices her own hand and shakes Cordran's.
No, oh, God, that's so unsafe.
Wyatt immediately so starts many better prepping ways to get greater rest. Wyatt immediately starts prepping greater restoration.
Cordran nods. And Gore says,
right. Now we gotta get you invited to a poker game.
Sounds like fun.
How do you play?
He says, don't worry, kid. We'll teach you.
Oh, we gotta get Hayden on board, too.
This seems like something they'd like.
Yeah.
Hayden, an hour or two has passed. You're still sitting on the floor. You hear the sounds of painting from Lysander's room.
I'm listening to paint dry.
You are literally listening
literally
to paint dry.
Listening to paint dry. God.
Not even watching.
And Winona appears in the doorway. And she turns to you, Hayden, and says, okay.
Welcome home, honey. I made a pot roast.
She smiles and says, do you have all of your things?
Haven't been carrying much.
Great. I need a few minutes. And then she passes you some slips of paper. As she heads to her room, you look down and you see train tickets.
Ooh.
Two of them.
Uh-huh.
The final stop says Salvation. After a few minutes, Winona comes back with her things and says, I booked the smallest town I could find.
Winona, I'm not running anymore. You don't have to come with me. And I'm always here for you, but I've sworn a few different oaths at this point. I'm allied to you. I've got... I sent some metaphorical bran muffins to the Jamesons. I made a promise in front of everyone who's still alive in Twin River that I would try to help people. Look, I know I'm not supposed to bite off more than I can chew, but... Well, between you and Rat, there aren't exactly a lot of pipers telling me to obey the rules anymore.
Hayden, please. Please, I waited for you here because I knew you would come. I knew you would be here. And now I just want to start over things with you. And we just live somewhere. And we get the life that we were supposed to get.
Winona, if I leave with you now, without finishing what I started, it's just going to catch up with us. And you're right. I put myself in danger, and now danger's following on alongside me. And if you don't want to sign up for that, that's fine. I understand that. But I'm in it now. I'm in the shit. And I intend to see it through. The pipers are more than just three little rules. They're about taking care of each other. And I got some more people I need to take care of. Probably don't make sense, but I was always a weirdo, right?
She takes one of the tickets. And she says, the train is leaving at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And she starts to say something else. And then she leaves. And you still hold the other ticket in your hands. Hayden, roll a persuasion check.
Oh. Okay, this seems to be a very important persuasion check, so here we
go. Seems like, yeah.
A little bit.
That's a natural 20.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a 36 persuasion Ooh. Check.
God. Winona still leaves, but I have not forgotten your roll.
I'm going to head out the door.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the moment that she takes the ticket from me, I just touch her finger with mine and cast guidance.
Mm.
Just to help her make whatever the next choice is that she makes. And then I dismiss Yolanda and head out.
Yolanda gives you one last nuzzle as she disappears, returning to wherever the actual Yolanda is. I think of these as kind of astral forms. And you see Winona disappear into the streets. Ducks down an alley, and you get a flash of her red hair as she disappears. And you hear in your mind the words that you, Rat, and Winona repeated endlessly. A piper is a piper, no matter what. Salome and Wyatt, you are at the Pickled Liver, and Cordrin begins to rise from the table. Gore says,
we have work to do. Dawnstar likes to play a poker game.
Mm.
He likes to play it with high-value individuals.
Wyatt grabs his, like, bag of gold and just puts it on the table in, like, a thud and just goes, is this enough?
Holy shit. Kids, you had that on you this whole time?
Yeah, it's my spending money.
Salome pulls a copy of her own wanted poster out of her cleavage and goes, is this enough?
How'd you keep that in there?
Eh, I got a couple copies laying around.
He points to you, Salome, and says, we're not going to have a problem getting you in.
He points to you, Wyatt, and says, I don't even think we're going to have a problem getting you in. Your friend, they got like a high profile thing that they do.
You ever heard of the Stranger?
Shit. Okay. Well, we're not going to have any problem getting them in either. They're the Stranger? Fuck. All right.
They
kind of.
Replacement. They replaced the Stranger. They're a much softened version of the Stranger.
It's complicated.
They killed the Stranger, actually. It's complicated.
He nods and goes, all right.
Yeah, I think we can get into the poker game.
Great. We'll make Dawnstar aware of your presence here. Although, I don't know that we'll have to do too much. He seems very plugged in.
Hmm.
For someone who seems who wants to remain uninvolved.
Okay.
Sorry, just one last question. Is there a Church of the Eternal Flame here?
Yeah, there's one up on the second level.
Okay. Maybe I'll stop by. You want to join?
All right. Well, we'll see y'all later.
Okay. See you later.
Cordran and Gore get up and leave.
Hmm.
Hayden, you have traveled to the Pickled Liver?
Yeah.
You enter the front and it is a madhouse in here. You barely avoid a bottle flinging over your head. Not meant for you, meant for someone entirely different. There is currently a man slamming another man's face into the keys of the piano in the corner.
Oh.
The bartender takes a mug and smashes it over a man's head. It is an ever constant riot. You see that there are boards nailed over the window in the front, but it is still shattered. It is a wreck in here.
Are we visible at all?
You're in the back room.
Oh, it is, okay, cool.
It is a completely different atmosphere. Occasionally, you hear as someone slams into the wall, but aside from that, it's pretty quiet in the back room.
Yeah, I think we told Hayden to meet us here, okay. So I think we would go out to the main area, right?
Okay. Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah,
Max. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think after the meeting, I think we go out to the main area, and as we walk in, something just like a shoe flies over our heads, and we just like duck.
Yeah.
And wave to Hayden.
Oh, thank the gods. All right.
This is wild.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
You all sit down, and you're some of the only patrons at the in the whole place who are seated at the moment.
Can we go back to the other side?
There's another side?
I don't think they'll let us back in without Cordran.
Okay.
I hope y'all found something interesting because I'm ready to get some work done.
All right. You patch things up with Winona?
Maybe not the most accurate description, but I think I planted a bug in her ear.
Okay.
Barkeep, a round of limes for the table, please.
Oh. Did something happen? Are we lime people now?
Salome holds up a bloody hand and says,
I leave y'all alone for the briefest moment.
We have agreed.
I was not on board with that.
To a temporary alliance with Cordran and the Featherfolk to displace Lothric Dawnstar, the fella currently in power, via a high stakes poker game. I did tell them you were the Stranger.
One, I'm not anymore. Two.
No, but you gotta pretend to be so that you can get into the game.
You and I are gonna have a conversation about better ways to do bloodletting because that is just painful and now you can't use your hand until that's healed up. Let me take care of this. All right, I'm gonna heal up that hand.
That's how it's done. Oh my lord. I'm left-handed. It don't matter.
Sure does. Let's go get itchy.
This is the right one.
You're gonna have to keep it clean.
All right.
I talked to Lila. You should know these things.
Oh, hell. Okay, yeah, you would be regurgitating Lila's health and safety advice.
Somebody's
Hayden
gotta.
Hayden Kincaid.
Hey.
Look, Wyatt, you're a healer. Hey. Why'd you let her do this?
I tried to stop it, but Cordran pulled out a knife and cut his hand, and I said, whoa, 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 and then Salome was like, I'm in.
You know what really shits me is that Theodosius Jameson seems really nice.
Who?
Oh,
wait, what?
I cracked that can right open, so we're going to see what happens there.
Wait. What?
No,
who?
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Who's here?
Lysander.
Yeah?
Happens to be a Jameson brother, and he seems to be kind of polite. And you know what? I'm not buying it. I've learned, and I know better than to trust a damn Jameson brother. And I ain't going to do it.
This is all lovely.
And it seems like he's real nice, and it seems like he's kind of in touch with some kind of magic thing, and I don't, you know what? He can choke on his damn paint water for all I care.
I want to talk to the painter.
You stay away from him.
Y'all, this is all lovely, and I'm sure this is a conversation that we should happily have inside this crowded bar, but I'm more interested in the deposing a governmental leader thing, so why don't we circle back on that and make some plans,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's fair. Sorry. No, I can't. It's just eating at me. I don't like that he's friendly.
I think we can fade out from here.
Great. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Because you have this discussion in which several sensitive topics are addressed in the middle of a crowded bar. However,
it's the best place to have a private conversation.
Literally, no one is listening.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people have already been boxed in the ears.
God.
It's the privacy of public.
Wyatt just starts going around casting cure wounds on all the ears.
You're going to spend all your spell slots.
You cast cure wounds on a man's ear. You watch it begin to reform, and then another man just smacks his fist into it.
Ooh.
Why would you do that? I used a spell slot.
Why, Oni, come here, sit down. We're going to teach you how to play poker.
Okay.
Get that big pouch of money out.
No.
You'll learn faster if you play for keeps.
No, maybe not.
Great. Where do y'all spend the night?
I didn't expect
That's
to get back to Davies
question.
Tonight, but I'm going to go back to Davies.
Well, I don't really have a place to stay tonight, so if it's all the same to y'all, I'll probably just make like my aunts and go camp outside the city.
Well, I did promise Winona that I would not bring y'all back there, and I don't know if I rightly want to go hang out with Lysander anymore, so...
Well, I don't want to crash Davies' house. I don't want to... Hey, we cannot crash these two 15-year-olds sleepover. Hayden, I'm
Look,
29. You're however old you are. We can't.
I'm not even sure.
We can go set up a tent.
Do we have to?
Well, is there like an inn or something here?
Yeah, there's an inn that you can stay in. It's
right.
Dirt cheap. It is
okay.
It's on the first level.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to sleep to the sounds of fighting and swearing and smashing glass.
That works for me. I would have rather camped outside the city, but this keeps us local. Is Wyatt going back to Davies?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I promised.
Yeah, you did. That's true. Ashes to flame.
You head to Davies. Davy invites you in. And in front of his parents, Davy is very warm and very inviting to you. And as soon as the door closes, you see he's a little shaken. And he sets out a little bedroll on the ground and says, "You can have the bed and I'll sleep here."
Oh, no. I've got mine. Don't, it's okay. I like mine.
No.
Keep your bed.
You're the guest. You're the guest. Please.
At least let me put mine down for you so you can double.
Okay. He puts down his bedroll and then uses your bedroll as a cover.
So what have you been up to?
Wyatt, I'm worried. What's going on, Wyatt?
When I went to Twin River, Jameson attacked the city and needed my help and my new friend's help to protect it. And we did. We stopped a train. But then I found out that there was a lot more to do to help people. So Salome and Hayden, who was that person that you saw who was Winona originally, that was actually my friend Hayden. That's a whole nother long story, but isn't really super important right now. They're really fun.
So that wasn't Winona, and I just led y'all to Winona's apartment.
Yeah, but that's... So Hayden... is siblings with Winona? I guess. They were friends back in the day, and Hayden was looking for Winona.
Davy is silent.
Did she do something more than just yell at you?
No. but I feel weird about being tricked. Do y'all do that? Wyatt, do you do that?
I don't.
But your friend does.
I mean, yeah, but they originally changed to Winona in the hopes that somebody knew Winona so they could find them quicker. Why does Hayden disguising themselves make you feel bad?
What if they use that to hurt people? I didn't know that that wasn't Winona, and I don't think I would have led a stranger to her apartment. Even if she doesn't want to accept the flame. Wyatt, I trust you. But I trust you.
Hayden saved my life in Thunder Pass. They've lost a lot, but they really want to do good. I don't think that what they've done is bad enough to be irredeemable, and they're always trying to do good.
Roll persuasion.
That's a 17.
Davey doesn't give much of a response, and he says, I think I'm going to go to bed, but maybe we can hang out more tomorrow.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe you can teach me a little bit more about how to knock on people's doors.
Of course, anytime. I'd love that.
Cool. And you both go to sleep.
I don't think there's a bug in the mattress.
Great. In the morning, at different points in the day, each of you find a letter in your pocket.
Oh.
In our pockets?
In your pocket.
Which pocket?
We established that Salome doesn't have any pockets.
Hayden doesn't find it because they have so many pockets that actually put their hand in.
Where's my invitation?
Like, what? Y'all got one? Hayden, you got yours in your hip coat pocket.
Okay.
That's funny.
Outer. Easily enough that someone could have slipped it in when you weren't looking.
Salome pulls it out of her cleavage.
Yeah. Oh. Salome, yours is in your cleavage.
No, I'm just kidding.
Salome, yours is tucked into your belt.
God, that's
kind of fun.
Hard to sneak there.
It is.
Yeah.
Wyatt, yours is tucked into your messenger bag.
Okay.
The envelope is addressed to Hayden. In your case, it's the stranger with quotation marks.
Oh, shit.
Wyatt, it is young master Wyatt Forsythe.
That sounds familiar.
And Salome, it is Mrs. Salome Briar Jameson.
Ooh.
Ugh. I take the envelope and just rip off the Mrs. and the Jameson and discard. Like, I get the letter first, but discard the other parts of the envelope.
Have you legally gone through the process to change your name, Miss Salome?
Wyatt?
Yes?
I don't think that will be necessary. I think those ties are pretty well severed on their own. Also, at what point do you think I would have had time to do that?
Salome, I think I have to ask Jack's permission to even open this envelope.
Yeah, that could be fraud.
I don't want a fade trickster to be coming after me because I opened his mail.
Well, you want me to open it?
They did put the name in quotes, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's a technicality, Wyatt. Smart. Good thinking. That is a loophole.
So somewhere, somewhen, Jack shrugs. It says, hey, fucking got me.
You know what? Good enough for me.
On the back is a seal in golden wax. And you suspect there are flecks of real gold in this wax.
What a waste of gold.
Oh, this is nice.
The initials LD in beautiful font. You each open, and inside is an ostentatious invitation. It is written in what may actually literally be gold ink.
Wow.
And it says, Dear your name.
I shred off the little Mrs. and the little Jameson again.
You are cordially invited to a healthy, lovely game of poker. Please assemble at the Gilded Lily at 8 p.m., where you will be ushered to our finest room. There, your hosts will meet you and let the festivities commence. And if, by chance, you would like a little bit of a warm-up, this card serves to spot your first five bets at the Gilded Lily. Please have a few rolls on us. With the utmost admiration and eagerness to meet, Viceroy Lothric Dawnstar.
Time to get some new clothes.
Oh, Lord.
Viceroy, that's such a fun title.
God, this city's just chock full of random men.
What an insult. Random men.
There's a smell going around.
You sure Winona doesn't want to hang out?
You know what? It is up to her at this point.
Oh, shit. Winona's train is at 8 too, right? Has Hayden told us about that?
I think this would be the moment.
Yeah.
Winona wanted me to run away with her again. She gave me a train ticket and everything. Train's leaving at 8. I think she knows on some level I'm not coming, but now I can't see her off.
Are you sure you don't want to go?
I want to, but I know where I'm needed.
I can send her a message for you if you want.
Might do that. I was gonna try to tell some street rat to send a letter for me, but you seem a little more reliable.
I like to think so.
He flips his hair. He flips his rat tail.
I forgot he had a rat tail.
He's a different kind of city rat. All right, well, if you're in, I guess we ought to get Wyatt up to speed on poker and make sure we're at the Gilded Lily on time and well-dressed. I might need to freshen up a little bit.
You freshen up. You head up to the fourth level, and as you are entering the stairwell to the fourth level, a guard stops you and says, "Hold up. I think you might be confused. This is the fourth level."
You know, when I did walk up those three flights of stairs, I did get lost.
We've got an invitation.
She says, "May I see them?"
Of course. We present our invitations with our names on them.
She looks them over, and yours is torn a little bit, Salome.
Yeah, just a little bit.
She puzzles a little bit about that, but returns them to you and says, "My apologies. You must understand, we try and keep the fourth level clear."
Oh, that's interesting. What do you mean by that?
Well, you can take the stairs right here. The Gilded Lily will be up towards the very center of the fourth level.
Thank you kindly. The highly influential name of Stronger thanks you.
What?
Stronger. You've been practicing your Elvish, Hayden.
I have been practicing my Elvish.
L'étranger. You head up the stairs.
I'm gonna fight that lady.
Just for fun?
Why?
Well, they ain't letting the rest of the city up into the fourth floor. Are you kidding me?
There is a noticeable vibe change as you get up to the fourth floor.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice here.
Wyatt's asshole unclenches for the first time.
And Salome's clenches as we enter this place.
The air pressure Hayden's remains equalizes. Neutral.
Yeah, the air pressure stabilizes as Wyatt unclenches and Salome clenches as we enter the fourth floor of Echo.
You head up and two guards open the gate. And it is a large wrought iron gate. You pass through and there are statues lining the streets. There are statues and there are topiaries.
Mm.
Oh, mine are better.
There's even a fountain. You look over and there's a fountain of multiple men tossing coins into the fountain below them.
More random men.
It's
more
random beautiful.
Salome, stop me from just collecting coins out of the fountain, please.
I ain't gonna stop you.
No, all right.
Just don't just get caught.
That's bad luck. Yeah.
No, we need the cash.
No, we don't. Wyatt takes out his bag and says, no, we don't.
You look and see that the fountain is in the center of the level, and directly behind it, with a large paved avenue, trees lining either side, there is a massive building at the back. And hanging over it is a beautiful sign that you think might be emblazoned with a dash of real gold that says, The Gilded Lily.
Mm.
You see men and women in tuxedos and cocktail dresses entering, and you see them, you see some leaving, staggering a little bit. This is the nicest casino you have ever seen.
The only casino Wyatt's ever seen.
Yeah.
It may be the only casino some of you have ever seen.
Yeah.
Salome, it's nicer than the ones in Threed.
Oh, well, ain't this just interesting? I do find myself siding more with Cordrin every minute, though.
Oh, this place is gross.
I think maybe everybody keep your guard up and stay vigilant.
You head up to the front and are stopped by an attendant. And she says, your invitations, please. In an affected accent.
Yes, ma'am.
Le Stronger.
Oh, interesting.
God, I just got that.
Buddy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, bud.
Oh, you're saying you haven't heard of me?
She says, oh, I do apologize. I don't mean to let you know that your reputation hasn't preceded you.
I happen to own a chain of high-quality restaurants. Have you heard of Le Penchant?
Jesus Christ. You can always tell what episode just came back by what jokes we reference.
Yeah, what the jokes are. We're like a tight 10 ahead.
She says, oh, mm-hmm, yes. And you must be Mrs. Jameson.
Miss Briar will be fine, thank you.
Mm. And you are young Master Wyatt Forsythe.
Wyatt starts to say, that's me, what questions do you...
Salome grabs Wyatt by the lapels and pulls him into the casino.
Wisdom is chasing that boy, but damn can he run.
Great. You head into the casino and are met with a massive room. There are lines and lines of machines. Small crank-style machines that people are sitting at. They crank it and numbers and letters and little pictures of lemons spin.
Oh, too bad they don't got limes, Wyatt.
What do you mean they don't have limes?
Yeah, it's all lemons. Hate to tell you. I hope you like lemonade.
You head back, and after a while, the machines change into tables.
Mm.
There are poker tables. There are blackjack tables. There are roulette tables.
Baccarat?
Baccarat.
I think it's Baccarat. I think it's
Baccarat. One is a singer, one is a game.
Yeah.
Is Burt Baccarat singing? Squirt Baccarat is a gnome lounge singer.
Squirt Baccarat, so yeah. Good.
There are, oh my gosh, there is any gambling game that you can think of is hosted here on a table that costs more than your house.
Maybe not more than Wyatt's house.
Yeah.
Maybe not more than Wyatt's house.
How much does the Threed sewage system cost?
Yeah. To be fair, yeah.
The Briar Wagon was not terribly expensive.
Let me tell you, that Threed sewer system is expensive.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, well, it's taxpayer dollars, though, so it's basically free money.
Jeez.
You are ushered back by an attendant. The attendant opens a small door with a staircase leading up. And at this point, you know that you are into the mountain that Echo has been built into. You head up the stairs, and at the top, a guard stops you.
I have more of these.
And says, put your weapons on the table.
I guess Wyatt takes his staff off.
Salome takes ironwood and maybe sends a little flower to Lila through it, if I can, before setting it down on the table, and then looks at the revolver and says, I think they might be expecting me with this.
Is it broken?
Yes, sir.
Right.
Hasn't worked since the last time I used it.
The guard inspects it, ensures that it doesn't work, and hands it back to you.
Thank you, darling.
He knocks on the door, and you hear from inside, Entre!
Oh, my God.
The door opens on a very small room. It is lined with velvet curtains. There is a small bar with its own barkeep. And in the center of the room is a table. And at this table sits the largest elven man you've ever seen. You'd think he'd be about 7 feet tall standing up with broad shoulders and chest and a large frame. This is a big dude.
Like, he's like, you just like dragged the corner of a person just up and to the right.
Yeah. He's scaled up. He's a big guy. You hear the sounds of an opera playing on a gramophone in the corner. Salome, you get a weird flash of familiarity, maybe even guilt. This is an opera you've heard before. Thaddeus took you to this one.
Oh, fun.
It's very popular in Threed.
Is it any good?
It's beautiful, as all elvish operas are.
Yeah, I do feel a little bit of guilt just remembering that night, since it was probably one of the only tender evenings that we had together in recent years.
Lothric stands. He is clothed in a gold filigreed vest, embossed velvet red long coat, flashy cravat, white gloves, luscious long curls, and a tiny goatee that you suspect may have been painted on.
Fun.
And he says,
welcome, welcome. Please make yourselves at home. Is there something that we can get a drink for you? I've been most eager to make your acquaintance.
Is there a whiskey or spirit or something like that that is like lowbrow produced in the Badlands?
Milk.
Milk, yeah.
You take a look. They all look imported.
Uh-huh.
Very, very high class. You think there is not a bottle in this room that is worth less than 1,000 gold?
Then I'll think of Professor Porton's and say, I have a glass of your Torterran Red, please.
A woman of quality. Is there anything I can get our dear stranger and our young Master Forsyth?
Got anything with a taste of coffee?
Kahlua.
This is how
Hayden discovers a white Russian.
You're hoping for a long night at the gambling tables, and I admire you for that.
Oh, I'm ready to win.
Aren't we all? And young Master Forsyth, what shall I get you?
You're better at figuring out names than I am, but I would like to order the equivalent of a Roy Rogers in this world.
Why don't we get you a Philip Drassen?
Oh, those are really good. Yeah, that would be great.
Perfect. Nothing but the best for my three wonderful guests.
He smiles and grabs your drinks on a small platter and sets it before you. And as you go to sit down, you notice there is another chair.
Mm.
That there are five chairs seated at this table. And he goes to sit down and says,
I hope you don't mind if I play a little bit of Vidal y Lucetta.
And he motions to the gramophone.
It's beautiful. Her writing is some of my favorite.
Mm.
Thaddeus and I enjoyed seeing this one together.
There's an interesting look that crosses his face when you say that.
Most interesting. Most interesting. I apologize. I could have sworn that I put 8 o'clock on these invitations.
I believe you did.
I think, well...
He pulls out a solid gold pocket watch from his vest pocket and says,
well, I hope they arrive soon. I do not want to keep you.
And at that moment, the door comes open. And in walks a man clad all in black.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Long locks spill out from beneath his wide-brimmed hat. And he says,
I do apologize for my tardiness. I was held up.
Lothric turns to the newcomer and says,
well, allow me to introduce you to Mr. Barabbas Bartle.
And that is where we'll pick up next time.
To another episode of Mage Hand High Five,
the Badlands.
Want to show your support for our show? Want to hear us talk more about it? Then check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. For just $5 a month, you get all kinds of extra goodies like early access to merch, peeks behind Casey's GM screen, and a whole second extra podcast, Mage Hand Down Low, where we talk about the behind the scenes of the episodes. Not to mention, you can help support small creators as we work on this passion project just for you. Check us out at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. Thanks to Jacob Kirzner for our music and Shane Smith for our logo and our cover art. Check out our website at www.magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across social media. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Discord, Blue Sky, and wherever else we may be, we're going to be there at Mage Hand High Five. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. And now I'm going to shout out all of our subscribers over on Patreon, and I'm going to do it in one breath. Zwight, Lindsay, Dale Heimbecker, DM Dippy Fresh, Darth Zelda, Deborah Jacobson, Jackson Maurer, Ocarina Sonata, Tal Maneer, Matt Jelly Cubes, Guy Cow, Elephantasmal, Morgan Faber, Kathleen Ayers, Kellen Wilbur, Trout Relief, Chronic Dreamer, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, AM Lovelies, Allison DeVelvis, Doss Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Al Forestorky, Liz Spar, Carrie Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Elda Soul, Jolata Pang, Laura, Al, Chloe Otley, and Sammy Richardson. Hoot a lolly. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your foes about the show. Go tell the little boy who lives down the lane. And when you do, use the hashtag MHH5. And hey, how about a high five?